Hello, everyone, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On. Tonight, I have the pleasure of interviewing former Tar Heel and NBA guard Rashad McCants. We're talking hoops, his game plan for Sunday, the upcoming NBA season, and much more. So stay tuned. AfterBuzz TV starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We're playing Blessings, getting in the mood for tonight. I don't know if you guys will have your headphones in, but you can listen to Blessings. Is Ty one of your favorite artists right now?
Yeah, Ty's dope.
My choice was Bodak Yellow, but Rashad wasn't messing with it, so it's all good. We got to play some Ty Dolla $ign for tonight. It's all good, though. Ty Dolla $ign Thursdays. hello, everyone. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. I'm excited to be back. Happy August. Happy Thursday. I can't believe summer's almost over, but it's all good. I'm your host, Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale. And I have the pleasure of introducing my guest for the night. He's here for the Big 3 League on Sunday. Mind you, he was the first pick in the draft, by the way, and his team Trilogy is undefeated. So Sunday, if you guys haven't got your tickets already, get it because you're sleeping. You need to get your tickets because they're only here in LA one day and watch Mr. Rashad McCants do his thing. So Rashad, welcome to AfterBuzz TV.
Appreciate you having me.
So before we get into our show, can you tell your fans where we can follow you on social media?
Instagram for sure, at Rashad McCants. Come check me out.
And make sure you follow all things AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV on Instagram and Twitter. So let's just go ahead and get started. Let's talk about the Big Three. So for those of you who don't really know what I'm talking about right now, that's what I'm here for. So the Big Three is rapper, actor, Ice Cube. He created the Big Three. So former players have a platform to play because they can still hoop, and for diehard fans to pay to watch their favorite players play. Right. So June 25th was the league debut, and we're now in week 8, I believe, on Sunday.
Yep.
And you play the Killer Threes. Let's backtrack a little bit. What were your thoughts when you first heard about the league, and where were you at mentally and physically with basketball?
At the time, I was playing in Mexico, and I had just been cut. I just had dislocated my ankle, and I played one game down there, and you know how international play is, they'll cut you real quick. So at that moment, I was on Instagram looking at Steven Jackson's page, and they had just announced that he was going to be a part of it. So I reached out to him and asked him how can I be a part of it as well, and who I needed to reach out to, and he gave me Roger Mason Jr.'s number, and then he's the commissioner of the league, and then he put me in the draft pool, and the rest is history.
And the rest is history. So you had, how long did you have to recover from your injury till the league?
I had about 3 months to really get right and get in shape and make sure I was ready.
So did you take this as like an opportunity to just play, like seriously, or was it like, oh, I'm going to just play to have fun? What was your mindset coming into it?
Well, when I found out it was going to be on Fox Sports 1, I knew it was a national platform. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to be ready and be focused for something like that. And to be able to resurface on the national scale, it was important to me because I've been waiting for that opportunity. So I definitely took it serious.
Good. So, you guys, let's play. Josh, let's go ahead and play a little bit of the Big Three video for you guys to tune in.
Changing the game. Allen Iverson's playing, Steven Jackson's playing.
What I look forward to the most in the Big Three is shooting the 4-point shot. It's going to be something to wow the fans for sure.
Get
your tickets at big3.com.
Okay, get your tickets. Get your tickets. You got Sunday. They play at Staples Center. So let's talk about the Trilogy team. You have Coach Rick Mahorn, Kenyon Martin, James White, Gennaro Pargo, Deion Glover, and Al Harrington. So what's it like playing with those guys?
Man, it's amazing. They're all great teammates. It's the reason we're undefeated. Mm-hmm. We're all like-minded guys. We understand the game, and we just want to win, and we've been doing that.
Who picked the name Trilogy? Were you guys just given that name?
Yeah.
If you had to choose a name for your team, what would it be?
Man, I would say we're more like villains. Like, we're like the villains. Yeah, we're like the villains out there. I would say that would be our name, the villains.
I like that. So the games are shorter. There's a 14-second shot clock. You play up to 60, I believe. You just mentioned the four-point shot. Out of all the rules for a three-on-three type of game, which rule is your favorite?
The no hand check. Well, the hand checking. They allow us to hand check.
They allow you. So would you say the league right now, you know, it's a foul if I just touch you with one. You think it's getting a little softer?
It's been a little softer.
It's been.
Very
since when?
Soft. Cotton soft.
Cotton soft.
It's cotton soft for like the last 10 years at least 8 years for sure.
Okay. So the hand check. And then what about, what's your least favorite rule?
I don't have a least favorite rule. No? I like the four-point shot. I like the hand checking. Everything's good so far.
Okay. Yeah. So looking forward to your game on Sunday. You're playing the Killer Threes with Chauncey Billis, Mo Evans, Steven Jackson, and Reggie Evans. What's the game plan?
The game plan is to really make sure those other guys on the floor don't really make an impact. You know, Steven Jackson is going to do his thing. Mm-hmm. We just got to limit Chauncey and the other guys and make sure to keep him out of the game. And that's going to give us an advantage. And we got a lot of different threats on our team. So if we do what we've been doing for the last 7 weeks, we're going to be fine.
So offensively, like, I know it's 3-on-3. You don't really necessarily have plays, or do you just give it to the ball to the person with the hot hand?
Well, I mean, usually the chemistry comes from the players understanding how to play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just play off each other. Whoever's hot, you know, we roll with it. And if we have a mismatch, usually throughout the season, nobody can really hang with Al Harrington. So we just go through him and play off him.
Okay. So if you had to pick your own 3-on-3 team, so let's go for former NBA players first. So you get 5 players, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who are the other 4 players that you would pick on your team if you could pick for former NBA players first?
The guys that I got now.
Okay.
All the guys I got now.
So what about current NBA players? If you had 4 other choices, who would you have?
Lance Stevenson, Draymond Green, Russell Westbrook, DeMarcus Cousins, and Rajon Rondo.
Okay, so Lance Stevenson, Russ,
Cousins,
and Rondo?
Rondo
and you. Okay, why those players?
Because they're dogs.
You got 2 point guards though, Russ and Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, why
Russ,
would you have those?
Because Russ can play the 2, mm-hmm. play off the ball. Rondo's our distributor. He's our glue guy. Keeps the team together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the rest speak for itself between me and Cousins. And man, we just gonna talk trash and make sure we fight it out.
Is that usually your game plan? Do you kind of like talk trash to your opponent to get in their head?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a gauging point. Try to gauge where they are mentally and see if they can handle the trash talk. And usually it throws guys off because they take it personal, especially depending on what you're saying.
Do you ever take it? Who's the biggest trash talker in the league when you were playing?
I was playing?
Yeah.
Gary Payton was still playing a little bit. He was the toughest, but Kobe probably.
Kobe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So interesting. You picked Lance Stevenson. Why would you pick him as what stands out to you when it comes to Lance Stevenson?
He don't back down from nobody. I like guys who don't back down.
Okay.
Who just want to fight. Who just ready to go, ready to bark, and ready to take the fear out of other guys. Like for him to stand up against LeBron and really want to take that challenge, it showed me a lot that he's willing to fight up against anybody, don't matter who you are. Same with Russ. Same with Rondo. Yeah. These are the same. Boogie Cousins. These are the guys who are like, I don't care who you are, I'm me.
Yeah. And I think that squad that you picked definitely, like, would be, I would say intimidating would be the word to describe that squad, for sure.
Yeah.
I know you remember Lance blowing.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you do what you got to do. To get under their skin.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly did.
Yeah, you do what you got to do. I mean, and it worked on some behalf, and, you know, a lot of people are just haters.
Okay. So let's talk about your NBA career. So you were drafted in 2005 to the T-Wolves. What was it like playing with Kevin Garnett?
It was everything and more.
Everything and more?
Yeah, KG was my OG, and he had a lot of wisdom and knowledge when it came to the game, and he gave me a lot of that. And before he was traded, man, we spent a lot of time together playing video games and just going trips and stuff after the seasons and stuff like that. So, yeah, KG meant a lot to my career early on. Mm-hmm. So I took a lot from that.
What did you? What is something that stood out to your relationship? Like, what did he? What are some words of advice that you will always carry with you throughout your life that he shared with you?
Just to always stay professional. Mm-hmm. You know what your value is, and never let nobody give you less than what your value is.
Facts only.
Facts only.
So will we see you on Area 21? I don't know, his show.
I don't know. It depends. I got to keep balling out. You know, I got to get my name a little bit bigger. It ain't big enough yet.
Okay. So explain the whole draft process for you. I know some guys, they just went through it. How was it for you personally coming out of college and then going through that to the NBA?
It was just a bunch of nerves, mm-hmm. you know, trying to figure out where you're going to be, what team you're going to play for, how it's going to affect your career down the line. So once everything is over with, you just try to focus on what you're going to do for the summer and how you fit on your team. Mm-hmm. That process alone is... it's exhausting, but it's worth it.
Definitely worth it. So this NBA draft, the guys coming out of this draft, personally, I thought that was like my favorite class coming out. So who are you most excited to watch this season?
I really like Malik Monk.
Okay.
I really like Malik Monk. But, of course, I like, you know, Alonzo Ball. Alonzo Ball is going to be very exciting.
So, yeah, now that you mentioned Alonzo, I know you were... I mentioned that you were a fan of LeVar and the Big Baller Brand, and you expressed your support for him and his and the whole Big Baller Brand. Why do you support them? Like, what's your reason behind supporting Big Baller Brand? And have you tried on his shoes yet?
Well, I mean, first is, I never said I was a fan of LeVar's. LeVar don't need no fans. It's the last thing he needs is fans. But I'm a believer in their movement. I'm a believer in their vision and what they want to do for the future and how they present themselves to be in the same conversation as a Fortune 500, Fortune 100 company. Mm-hmm. I respect that, you know, and entrepreneurship is important in the Black community, and I think that we need more of it.
Okay. But you haven't tried on the shoes yet?
I haven't gotten the shoes, haven't tried them on.
LeVar.
We're waiting
for his shoes. And while you're at it, I want to try them on too. I still play a little bit.
Yeah. We need to see what's going on. I paid the money too, so we really need to see what's going on.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I'll shout you out. I don't know if I can afford. I'm not a big baller yet. I don't know if I can afford those, but you know, I'll give you a little shout out. Mm-hmm. So for someone who's going through the process of, let's say they get drafted, and there are some players that are contemplating between going overseas and then playing in the G League. What are some important factors that you would tell that player that's kind of deciding between the two?
Well, I mean, the first thing you just got to look at is, you know, how much money's on the line.
Okay.
And the second aspect is if you want to go overseas or not, if you're comfortable being home and being around Americans and family. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a decision you have to definitely decide between. But internationally, when you come thinking about adventure and just learning and seeing new places, it's not a bad choice.
So, but what about, I don't know if this is true, but do NBA teams, if you're on the G League and you're here in the States, is it you're seen mostly by the NBA scouts and you have a better opportunity being moved up onto a team? Is that usually how it goes, or...
I mean, it's not necessarily that you have a better opportunity, but you're close enough to be seen.
Okay.
In a light where they know or they can build a profile around you as a player.
Okay.
It's more difficult overseas, although you can still collect film and so on and so forth. But when you're in a G League, it's right there. So
right.
If they want to bring you up, they can. But it's no guarantee for sure that they will, because they need to keep the league as fresh as possible.
Got you. Okay. So overseas, what was your overseas experience like? Where was your favorite place to play?
China was really good. Venezuela and Brazil, mm-hmm. of course. It's always a learning experience, mm-hmm. and I'm a sponge for knowledge and information. So All the places that I've been so far has been instrumental to where I'm at, who I am as a man.
Did you pick up another language?
No, I didn't. No? I almost did, but it just it never got past the introduction words. You know what I'm saying?
Which language was it? Spanish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hola. Portuguese. That's it. Hola.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
That's it. We'll be in.
Okay.
Gracias y tú.
That's all I got too. That's it. It's a shame. I'm half Mexican. It's bad. My mom's. Sorry, mom. So let's talk about for college players right now, college athletes. Most of them, especially I would say as young as middle school, sometimes they think their mindset is just one and done. Like, I can't wait to get to the league. What's your thoughts about college athletes being so eager to jump to the league? Do you feel like they should continue on and get their degree? Or what is your thoughts in general about jumping to the league from college?
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Simply because, you know, as a youth minority, if you're talking about black athletes, and not just simply all athletes, but black athletes have more of an eager mentality to chase the dollars because we come from nothing. So, you know, when you don't have as much and you know you can get an immediate change in lifestyle with a check, mm-hmm. with your talents, that's something that's being promoted out there.
Sure.
So it's something you're going to chase because you see it and you see how attainable it is. It makes it that much more desirable. So that's where our youth is right now.
Right.
Everybody's like, I got to get good enough before I get to the 12th grade so I can only do 1 year and get this check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the AAU system is just kind of branding the kids as well.
I was going to ask you about the whole AAU system. It seems to me that, you know, one, there's so many teams now. The style of basketball is completely different. I don't know, what changes do you think that the AAU in general, do you think that they need to make to better prepare these guys for the next level?
I don't know right now. I mean, basketball is in such a state of just confusion because there's no development when it comes to skills. There's no real value when it comes to winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys are just wanting to do anything for the validation of winning and not really the overall meaning of what it is to win. They just want it to be on their resume,
mm-hmm.
to be in the conversation as a who's the greatest and who's good, who's not. And it used to just be about the passion of loving the game, and it's more about statistics and stuff now. So the AAU circuit doesn't focus on the passion and the competition. Mm-hmm. It's more about who's ranked number one,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it's at.
Do you think social media has a lot to do with that?
I think our whole society has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's social media, it's basketball, football. Everybody is the same system.
Okay. Would you ever coach? And if so, what age group? Would you college, pro, like, would you ever, have you ever thought about coaching?
I thought about it. I would be a good coach if I did. I think I would be. But that's not nothing on my scale right now. That's not on.
Yeah, eventually.
You know, if something pops up, something happens.
Okay.
On a good scale, makes sense.
Okay. Well, eventually, obviously, because you still can hoop. Let's bring up your highlights because I know you were the player of the week for week 5. So let's go ahead and play some of your highlights. So after, like, watching your highlights and actually, you know, throughout the actual league, do you feel like you are at a level in your game right now that you could compete with current NBA players?
I've always been at a level to compete with NBA players.
Okay.
Always. So playing in the Big Three, just like I said in the beginning, it gives me opportunity to be seen on the national light again,
mm-hmm.
to be able to show people that I can still play at that level. And I've always been able to play at that level.
Okay. Who do you think, who kind of surprised you? Do you think any of the guys that are playing in the league, like, you're like, dang, you actually can still hoop? Or
mm-hmm. Rashard Lewis, Steven Jackson, and Katino Mobley, they all still got it, and they old.
They old.
They old as hell.
They old. cold as hell.
But they still got it. But they still got it.
Did they get you on a move or something? Or
they just killing. They just killing it. They just killing it. You know, and Steven is just strong as ever. And Rashard's 6'10", long, and just skilled. And Contino is just, he's like Lance Armstrong out there. He's just out there long-lasting, everlasting, over everybody.
Does he still have that shot?
Yeah. Still got the shot, lefty.
Lefty. Man, lefties are so hard to guard.
Man, that's why he still got it.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was left-handed. Anyway, so let's go back to the NBA. How would you describe your career in the NBA? What did you learn from those years, personally?
I would describe it as an extreme success. And okay. Coming from where I came from, to make it to the NBA is a success in itself. But to be there 4 years, average 10 points, have 1 year where I averaged 15 points a game. In the time that I was there, during the guys, like during the years that the guys that were there, it was definitely successful. And given more years, I would have been able to prove even more success for sure.
So you said coming from where you came from. Can you just kind of describe where you came from? And
yeah, small town, Asheville, North Carolina. Uh-huh. You know, hood, ghetto, whatever you want to call it, Section 8, welfare, mm-hmm. you know, government cheese, all that. mm-hmm. And was able to scrape it together and make the right decisions coming up, being able to go to boarding school when I was in high school to get my grades right, to be able to get a scholarship offer from North Carolina, to go there 3 years, and then all of a sudden get picked to go to the NBA and be compared to Michael Jordan, all that stuff. That's awesome.
Growing up, who was the guy that you loved watching play?
Allen Iverson.
Okay.
For sure.
Has Allen played?
Yeah.
He has?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still as quick with his handles? Or
no, he's older. Everybody's older.
I just feel, I love Allen Iverson. Okay, that's cool. So throughout your career, who was the toughest opponent playing against?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
And Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas.
No Chill Gil.
No Chill Gil. Do you still, did you have a relationship with either with Kobe or Gil off the court?
I didn't, but, you know, it's always love when we all see each other, you know. And it's a fraternity in the league, so we all, you know, share the jokes and stuff. Yeah, it's always love.
So Kobe, though, we both have in common because Kobe is my favorite player by far. What is your favorite part about Kobe's game?
Mentality, the Mamba mentality. A lot of people think they understand it, and it's something that has to be experienced. You have to be the mentality to understand it, and you have to know that, like, the type of guy that just wants to eat your heart out on the court and make sure he wins no matter what, and when he was willing to do whatever it takes, you got to be that same person to understand it. You know what I'm saying? So That's the best part of his game that I've always loved, is how mentally tough he was.
Your mental part of your game is just as important as it is improving your skills.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever have to train your mindset a certain way, or did you always have that locked in mental game?
Well, it's a lot of it is predicated around being a perfectionist.
Okay.
You know, wanting to make every single shot, wanting every move to be exactly what it's supposed to be to get by that defender, not wanting your defender to score a bucket or get an advantage whatsoever, and being able to go to the bench and make sure, like, there's never a time where you're on the bench and you've done everything right. There's always something that you're mad about. It's like, you know, I should have done that better, or I missed a free throw, or I missed the opportunity to get a rebound. Things like that. That's the mentality that holds, like, people over a different status when it comes to, like, greatness.
I know you saw Kobe's, what was Kobe's last game and his, like, what did you, after watching that game, I know ICU mentioned, like, that was the reason, that was his inspiration behind creating this league. Do you think Kobe will come back and make an appearance in the league, or do you think he's just, like, off vacationing?
I just seen recently that when I said this, it already made headlines about me saying that Kobe's not gonna play, or he shouldn't, or whatever. But I mean, when guys are in retirement mode, they kind of tend to be prideful about staying in that mode. Mm. And a lot, I think everyone has went through that, even Kenyon and Al and all those guys. So it'll take a couple of years before he really wants to come back.
Yeah. I think he's enjoying his vacation life too.
Everybody
and he's on a, Mamba out blackout thing or whatever, like he usually is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. That your love for Kobe.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the current NBA season and the changes so far. So first, Warriors, they won.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're over it already, but the idea of super teams came in before the season started because Kevin Durant went to the Warriors.
Right.
So a lot of people have expressed their concerns and their thoughts about super teams. Do you care about that? Or is it like, what's your thoughts about like stacking teams together to win?
We've been doing this since it all started. Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, like everybody's had stacked teams and win mm-hmm. championships. But it's how you acquire those players that makes it a super team.
Which is?
Buying the players.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out and buy a bunch of players to be on your team to win a championship, you're buying a super team.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors never did that. So that makes it look kind of bad on the side of the fans and the people because mm-hmm. now it's like that. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
when you got a guy like LeBron James and Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and Darren Williams, Kyle Korver. You bought all these players to win a championship, and you still can't win.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the real super team?
It's a good way to look at it.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
I mean, I agree. But the show's not about me. It's about you. So what about the thought of resting your players? So towards the end of the season, towards before the playoff run, some teams are resting their star players. James Harden obviously voiced his opinion on resting. What's your thoughts on that?
Do you get paid to rest?
I'm sure. Don't you still get paid? You're still on the bench. You're still getting money, right?
I mean, if you're getting paid to rest, then you should rest players. But if we're getting paid to play, we should be playing.
Hmm. I feel like you wouldn't if you wouldn't rest, huh?
No.
You would still play.
No. I like to do my job. My mm-hmm. job is to play and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can stay out there the whole time, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a couple minutes of rest because I'm going to play hard. But after those couple minutes, I'm ready to go.
Has there ever been a time in your career growing up that you were like, I cannot play anymore, I'm too tired? Or did you just always like just fight through it?
No, so if you got a competitive fire
mm-hmm.
and you're playing sports, there's nothing gonna keep you out of there
mm-hmm.
to help your team win, especially if you're one of the key factors in winning or helping your team win. You know you can't let your team down because they're dependent on you.
Right. And then last, Kyrie leaving the Cavs. What was your take on that news?
I like it.
You like it? Where do you think he's going to end up?
He could end up in Miami. He could end up with a team where he can do his own thing. But I just like it because it's a mix-up and it's different. And it's got people mad. And I like anytime anybody pushing buttons and making people mad because people are too uptight.
Mm-hmm.
People are too sensitive, you know.
You would be...
Have some fun, yeah. You know. Kyrie don't like LeBron, so what? So a lot of people didn't like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people didn't like Charles Barkley and, you know, all those guys. A lot of people don't like Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what?
So what?
So what?
Just, where do you think he's going to end up? What team do you think he would work well with?
He could... He wants to be by himself. He should go to Chicago.
Interesting.
It's Chicago. I think Chicago, Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn. I agree.
Brooklyn can do whatever he wants over there.
I say Brooklyn for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, so let's talk about your off-court business ventures that you have up your sleeve. And I heard that you have an interest in music. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
What part of music are you interested in?
I've been in music for 14 years, producing and being an artist, a writer and an artist, hip-hop. But just we started a foundation called the New Life Foundation. It's mm-hmm. basically to help financially aid entertainers, you know, chase their dreams and make sure that they get what they need financially to artist development, business development, helping them get a gym to work out in, or singing lessons, anything that usually artists run into roadblocks on because they don't have the financial ability to take on that. So we step in, give them scholarships where, you know, they can handle their business and be able to make music or make films or be a better athlete.
So is this service offered all throughout the country?
Yeah.
And where can we, if someone who's interested in this, where can they get
involved? Well, we're still pending right now because we don't want to, we're taking our time with it. We're going to make sure everybody gets what they need at the proper time. But we're just going to give y'all a sneak. We just gave y'all a little sneak peek of what we're doing. That's going to help a lot of people.
Okay, cool. So what's your pregame playlist like? Like, what gets you hyped? Your top 5 songs that you're playing that will get you ready to play in a game.
Well, for me, I'm not a hype guy. I feel like when you're too hype, you're out of control and your focus is off. Okay. I'm a smooth, even keel, laid back dude. So I listen to a lot of R&B. Michael Jackson, some D'Angelo.
Okay.
I'll go way back and just try to calm everything down, you know, to a slower, more focused mentality. So I like to slow it down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So who is your favorite music artist today and why?
Today? That's difficult because music is so different now compared to when I was coming up. But I have to say Drake. Yeah, Drake. He gives the people a lot, and he even has the old soul to kind of reminisce of what old hip hop used to be.
Okay,
and he can give you some bars like that, take you back, and make you feel like, okay, I'm listening to some old stuff, and then. He's the controller of the culture.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants. And he's out there. So
he's so talented.
Yeah, he's really good.
What about growing up? Who was your music artist you always listened to?
Tupac and Michael Jackson.
LA.
Mm-hmm.
cool. So now let's talk about your partnership with Per Diems Against Poverty.
Mm-hmm.
How did that get started?
Well, Per Diems for Poverty works with a lot of baseball players, so they're deciding to merge into the basketball world, and they wanted me to be the first athlete to help them. And so just spreading the word that Per Diem for Poverty is predicated to taking your per diem that we're given as athletes for our lunch and dinners and giving it back to the food banks and the food drives and the communities that we go to and just helping spread the word to give back and do your part.
And so for the athletes that are interested in getting involved, they could just go to the website, or is Per Diems?
Per Diems for Poverty. Per Diems Against Poverty, I think.
And you're the only NBA player right now that's currently on.
So far.
It's mostly. Okay, yeah. NBA guys, let's get on this, because this sounds like it's a really good organization to get involved with. And then tomorrow, I hear you have a skills clinic going on in North Hollywood. Talk about that.
Yeah, free clinic. For kids 8 to 15 in North Hollywood. And we got guys like Marcus Banks that's going to be there, Brian Cook, Corey Maggette, Eddie Badston, JYD, Jerome Williams, Ricky Davis. So all the big three players might come out. You never know who's going to be there. So all the kids need to come out and get some free skills.
Are you going to play one-on-one against them?
We're going to see who got skills first.
Okay.
And then we're going to see who want the one-on-one.
Are you going to, like, if they play against you, like, are you the type of player that you would, like, swat their shot to the other side of the court? Or were you just, like, let them score?
Let them score.
Really? As competitive as you are, you would
No, I was asking you that question. Like, how dare you ask me that question?
I mean,
question?
You know, like, I just thought, you know, for the kids,
no,
maybe. Okay.
Kids don't get to score either. No one gets to score.
So if you guys want to score on Rashad, come out tomorrow in NoHo. And I guarantee you it'll make the blogs if you score on him. All right, so let's play some. Okay, now we're gonna have some fun here. I have a few questions just to get to know you a little bit more on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So right now, what's your favorite TV show that's out right now?
Power.
Yes, I love it. I knew it. Great. Power. Perfect. I love that. Who's your favorite character on the show right now? And are you Team Tasha or Angela?
I don't like neither one of them. But I'm going to go with Tasha.
Especially after Sunday's episode, you're still going to go with Tasha.
I'm not going to go with Angela. She started all of it.
Angela.
It's her fault. Heartbroken. No, she didn't. She knew what she was doing.
And you think Tasha's just after what Tasha did on
Tasha's
Sunday?
Tasha's responding.
Responding. Oh, okay. All
right. I'm not saying it's right. I said I don't like neither one of them. But I'm taking Tasha.
Keisha, what about Keisha?
Keisha didn't do anything wrong yet. She's
okay.
Just horny.
Okay, so power. That's good. Favorite food?
Favorite food?
Yes.
Macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. Okay. So you grew up in North Carolina. What is one of the food spots? Like, if you're visiting your hometown, like, what's the food spot that you have to go to every time?
Waffle House.
Waffle House? Okay. I thought there was like something like not for me. Something like you would never know. Go here, no.
Because I'm out here on the West Coast, so when I go back, I'm not even thinking of nothing traditional. I'm thinking, where's the Waffle House at?
Are you a Roscoe's fan?
Not really.
No.
I just don't think the blend of chicken and waffles works for me. It never has.
Okay. What about Bojangles?
I don't like Bojangles either.
Man. I loved it. I went out there one time. It's my favorite thing ever. So if you weren't playing basketball, what sport would you play?
Wrestling.
Wrestling?
No, I'm just
playing. Come on.
Nah, probably... I don't like anyone touching me. I don't like
people. You don't like anyone touching you, and you and you.
I said
like...
I was just playing. I said I was just playing.
Okay.
Golf.
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 Really? Are you good?
I'm getting better. I'm getting better. It's not good. I'm getting better. Golf or boxing? One of the two.
I could see you box.
Yeah.
Would you ever? If Mayweather just said, "Yo,"
he said it to me. Yeah, he told me he wanted me to. Be a heavyweight. In 2 years, I'd be a millionaire.
That's interesting. Okay. See you boxing. What about favorite football team? Because slowly approaching and favorite
Steelers.
Player. Steelers.
Steelers.
You're not a Panthers fan?
No, I was, but Cam Newton is wearing rompers out there. It's just not cool. I can't cheer for anybody who wears a romper.
I can't do it. What if Big Baller Brand made a romper?
I won't do it. I can't do it.
Big Baller Brand made a romper.
I won't do it.
Entrepreneurship.
I just can't. I can't.
Support black business.
I just can't do it.
All right. You said it.
I'll go right over to the Latin community and support them right away. I can't do it.
Okay. So now the last game that I'm playing is Blast from the Past. So Minnesota, think of your Minnesota years. And I'm going to give you a few categories or questions, I'd say. You have to pick one player that you played with that would fit this category, okay?
Hmm.
So, out of all your teammates, who was the funniest?
Al Jefferson.
Al Jefferson, okay. Who was the best dancer? None of them can dance?
Trenton Hassel.
Okay. Can you dance?
I don't dance. All I do is this.
Two-step?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. who was the smartest?
That would probably be Mark Madsen, Mad Dog Madsen.
Mad Dog! Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. So let's say you're, you're in trouble with your girl, and you needed one of your teammates to bail you out. Which teammate would you go to?
Ricky Davis.
Ricky Davis. Okay, which teammate would you not go to?
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love, really?
Yeah.
Aw. I feel like he would be a sweetheart.
No.
No, okay.
He's a sucker.
Oh. Okay, so out of all your teammates, who had the most swag?
Sebastian Taillefer.
Who had the least swag? Least amount of swag. You can name more if there's more.
Calvin Booth.
Calvin?
Calvin Booth.
Aw. You didn't help him out?
I mean, he was 7 foot. And there wasn't no clothes that fit him that wasn't just baggy from 2000s.
There wasn't like a...
And he was really skinny, too.
Big and tall or something?
But he was the coolest teammate I've ever had, though.
Cool. So, who would you go for life advice?
In the NBA?
In your team.
On the team. Life advice. Greg Buckner.
Okay. Who talked the most shit? Besides you.
Gerald Green.
Okay. And, well, I feel like I already asked that question. Most fashionable, but fashionable swag. Okay. Current NBA, who's the most, the NBA player that has the most, that's the best fashion sense, I'd say.
The best fashion sense?
I just want to add, this is not on the list, but... I'm curious because the NBA style has evolved over the years. So who is the most fashionable, you'd say?
I don't even...
Are you into fashion like that?
No, because, I mean, like, when you're like an alpha male, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just, there's a certain gentleman swag that you have when you're doing business.
Okay.
And then when you're not, I mean, you're just chilling. But it's a lot of...
Rompers.
It's a lot of rompers and Hollywood stuff going on that don't need to be happening.
Floral prints.
Yeah, it's a lot of going on.
Okay, so you would never wear on the ESPYs, you would never wear like a silk button-down floral shirt.
I'm wearing some sweatpants. I'm wearing some sweatpants and some Timberlands. And a New York Yankee hat.
Okay.
And a Facts Only shirt.
Facts Only. Well, on that note, that's our show for tonight.
For sure.
Facts Only. Guys, remember to... A, get your tickets on Sunday and watch Rashad do his thing to hopefully continue undefeated, going into the playoffs. B, go to the clinic tomorrow, North Hollywood. Where is it again? And the times, please?
It's going to be in North Hollywood Park.
Okay.
The
Voice of God, what was it again?
North Weddington Recreational Center. I think that's it.
Okay.
From 11 to 1:15. Mm-hmm. And it's free for everybody.
It's free for everybody. Go out and support and challenge Rashad to one-on-one. And then remember to follow Rashad on his social media. Keep in touch with what he's doing and all that good stuff. I'm your host, Raina LA. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. And then Rashad, one more time, can you tell everybody your social media handle, please?
At Rashad McCants, hit me up. Follow me, I follow you back.
Facts Only.
Facts Only.
And remember to follow all things AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV on Instagram and Twitter. All right, guys, see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro,
Phil Svitek, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.